KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
Watson throws. End zone, there it is. Will Fuller, 33, off the play fake. Watson with loads of time. Fires downfield to the end zone. Touchdown. Second of the first half for Will Fuller, 33 yards. Watson hands it off, and Hyde is in for a Texans touchdown. Down from the 8-yard line, empty backfield, first and goal, to the end zone, touchdown, Darren Fells. Watson on third down and 9, lobs one up to the end zone, it is caught by Darren Fells, his second touchdown today. As Watson sets, and now throws, it's Fuller, Will Fuller into the end zone, his third touchdown today. Ryan's pass picked off. He was looking for Austin Hooper. And the final exclamation point to Sean Gibson is inside the 20, and he will take it all the way. 77 yards for another Texans touchdown.
Sports, 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 sports. So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, kind of hoping to come in here and talk about getting ready for the Yankees. Not the case. Let's do this. It's an early Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is your number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. You can also get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real. At Aaron is Blitz. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And you can also watch us on the Twitch channel if you so desire. Go to Twitch and find ESPN 97.5 or go to ESPN975.com and find Twitch and put your comments in the chat room. We'll get to those as well. And it's a Monday, and that did not go well, did it?
I guess that's one way of looking at it. It could have gone better for the hometown nine today, but you know, it's not surprising that that was a that place has been a tough place to play for the Astros, not just this, like for years.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a problem spot for them. And man, Charlie Morton looked like old school Chuck Morton today. And you knew you were going to have a game where, you know, we said all along, Tampa's pitching is good. If you look at, you know, team ERA, bullpen ERA, they match the Astros almost. Exactly. They almost mirror each other on that side of the ball. The Astros, obviously, their hitting numbers over the course of the season have been great, but that's, we say this all the time, one good pitching day can shut everything down. And that was kind of it. That was it today for the and I shouldn't even say one day, because the Rays have pitched well this entire series.
Yeah.
Until today, so had the Astros. The Astros didn't pitch well today.
No, you got a bad Grinky start, which. Yeah, and then I like the fact that I like what Wade Miley did in the regular season. I thought he was a good signing, but I don't ever need to see him pitching again. I think we've seen all we need to see of him this year. But other than that, I mean, yeah, they just the Rays pounded him, and not much you can say about it other than you reload for Game 4, which apparently Verlander's going to start, so they're going to have to beat Verlander and Cole. If you're the Astros, you'll take that.
Yeah, and I'm actually surprised. I think. We talked about this before. We assumed that if they were up 2-1, they would pitch Urquidy.
Yeah,
in game
and that's
four.
What I thought would happen, too.
I wonder if they are knowing that the and to me, knowing that the Yankees are going to probably finish off this series, if I'm the Astros, I would have pitched Urquidy. I don't know that I'm going straight to Verlander on short rest. I wouldn't panic about this game, but apparently they feel the need to get it over with as soon as possible, and they feel like Verlander's the guy that'll do that. Okay.
I think, worst case.
I mean, the ALCS doesn't start until Saturday.
Right.
No matter what.
You'll have Grinky Verlander. If you start Grinky in game one, then you probably got Verlander for game and Cole for game six and seven. I heard Charlie talking about that before the game. There's not really a bad way to set up your rotation for that series. You do need to get there.
Well, if Verlander pitches tomorrow, he can pitch game one of the ALCS. Because tomorrow's Tuesday. Game one is on Saturday. It lines up just fine. So
on 3 days rest, though. Right? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I think ideally you want him back on four. You don't want to pitch
him on
3 days
So maybe you can reverse Cole and Verlander in the rotation and push everybody else back a day. Yeah, that's probably what they would end up doing.
But, I mean, that's the thing. You'd still be in pretty good shape. Ideally you would have closed it out, but, you know, let's see what happens tomorrow if you get it done. The only thing that worries me, if you lose tomorrow, even with Cole on the mound in a game five, all the pressure's on the 107-win team that was up 2-0.
Yeah.
Everything changed, and suddenly you squeeze the bat a little tighter, maybe you miss a play here and there because it does get in your head that, hey, we're not supposed to lose this series. So hopefully they get it done tomorrow and can move on, but I'd be very concerned if it got to a game five.
Man, my one concern really is George Springer. Just looks lost.
He does, but you know, remember how they were talking about, you need to get him out of the leadoff spot, and then he went nuts in the World Series. So
you're right.
At some point, he's just
because patience is the virtue. But
they've got a lot of streaky guys, and Springer's one of them, and Correa's one of them, and Alvarez is one of them, and you just need one of them to get on a hot streak here, and you'll be fine. But right now, that's not the case, and you know, I mean. It didn't really matter what happened after Greinke got out of the game because you didn't score enough runs to win anyway. So I think you can just sort of throw out the trash that they trotted out there. It was a give-up game. But
yeah, that game was over in the fourth inning.
Yeah.
I mean, it was done.
Yeah. So
because, you saw how Charlie Morton was pitching. He wasn't going to go out there and just give it up. And then the Rays have the best bullpen in baseball. And not that the Astros haven't touched them a little bit. But that's
if you're a good lineup, it doesn't matter. You should get to some of those guys, but
I don't know if you're going to get to them for 4, 5, 6 runs.
Well, not at that point of the game. No,
that's going to be tough.
No, but plus you could just tell they weren't swinging the bats well enough to do something like that. But I think tomorrow what you're going to see, and by the way, the radio call that we're playing on our station, so much better than those idiots on TV. Oh my God, that was so bad Saturday night. I thought I was listening to a Rays broadcast. I finally had to Collinsworth them and mute it. And then I unmuted at the end of the game, and they're talking, the Rays should be very happy with what they did here. What? What? Are you bleeping kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, man, Girardi and the bad AJ, as I'm going to call him, kept going back and forth about, when you used to catch. Oh, yeah, when you used to catch. Yeah, we get it. You used to be catchers. Why, of all the teams, I get it when the Astros play the Yankees. Yankees are going to get all the love because that's what the eyeballs are there for. People are tuning in to see the Yankees, not the Astros. Sorry, I know that hurts Astros fans' feeling, but it's the truth. But the Rays, who had a whopping $32,000 show up for a playoff game today had tarps on the field have no national presence, and you're going to say nice things about them? What the bleep? I mean, I swear that I was, granted, I'd had a few drinks by then Saturday night, but I was like, are you kidding me? Yeah. So, but the guys on radio are really good. So that's why I was sitting out there listening to them before I came in. And
you didn't want to watch it on the TV in here.
I don't want to hear those idiots. Now, granted, you had Costas today and only one of the idiots who's still bitching about losing to the Astros 2 years ago. Give it up. So it's. It's just one of those things. I just want balance. And so I say, you should be listening to the home. I don't want the homers. I don't like the hometown guys, okay? They're supposed to be rooting. They're supposed to be shtick. I expect better out of national broadcasters because they're supposed to be better. They didn't get that job by being shtickers.
Well, honestly, I think the TV broadcast for the Astros is pretty solid, but you can't watch it. That wasn't an option today. You know,
what do you mean?
Could you watch the Astros?
Yeah, I have MLB
TV broadcast.
Yeah,
no, they're not doing home broadcast.
I'm talking about the home broadcast.
Oh no, not the home broadcast.
No, the AT&T Sportsnet.
Yeah, so you don't have a choice. I mean, if you want to watch it on television, that's what you got.
Like, yeah, I misunderstood you.
I was saying for the television broadcast. I like the Astros television broadcast team.
I think they're functional, and they've grown on me. But for playoff games, you want to hear about the other team too. You want a nice, fair, balanced. I do. I can't speak for everybody.
It makes me wonder if the Astros are becoming a team that they've had enough success that it's starting to grate at the average guy. Like, you know, it gets that way. And it's not like they're the New England Patriots. They don't win every single year. They haven't yet anyway. But
no, they've got one.
But they were right up there, best team in the league last year too. One of the best teams in the league last year too. This is 3-4 years in a row that they've been a really good baseball team. It happens. There becomes fatigue. Everybody was okay with the Warriors until about year 4. And then it was like, oh, my God.
I know. They were annoying year 2. Except for you, because you loved them. Because you have Warriors underwear.
That's right.
But no, I don't want to. I guess I expect more from national broadcasters who theoretically got those jobs because they're the best of the best.
No, I'm with you.
And in this case, no, they weren't. And I think and Fox is starting to make a lot of the mistakes that ESPN's made where, oh, let's just throw a former player on there because we think he'll be good, or a former manager, and give him no coaching, apparently, because that was just a bad broadcast. And it went from being just bad commentary to obviously trying to make the Rays look like they're some kind of great team who was, I mean, you're down 2-0. How many strikeouts did you have the first two games? Oh, and you should feel proud of that. No, you shouldn't. You got your ass kicked. Just like, guess what? The Astros shouldn't feel proud about today. They should feel like they got their ass kicked, and they should come back tomorrow pissed off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was really irritating. So, but, hey, they won. They're up 2-1. They're still in a good spot, but today is not good. You know, and there's no way around it. I mean, there's nothing you can take from that game and say, oh, well, the Astros have this to hang their hat on. No, they don't. They sucked. It was that bad.
I don't know what the Rays will do with game 4, like what they'll do with their rotation, because I don't know that they want to send Glasnow out there on short rest.
Well, that's what they were kind of talking about.
Are they going to try one of these bullpen games?
Well, that's what they were saying on the broadcast. You've got your bullpen perfectly lined up, or if you can get Glasnow out there for 3 innings, and then you got Anderson, and you basically have all your good guys lined up. You could get 9 innings out of them.
Yeah.
And because you didn't have to use any of them today.
And then you basically say, if we win that, we throw Blake Snell, who's, you know, he's our established guy, throw him out there and see where the chips fall.
Worry about game 5 and game 5.
Who, by the way, Blake Snell pitched well in game 2. Not better than Gerrit Cole, unfortunately for him.
Yeah.
But pitched very well in game 2. So,
yeah, it kind of gets lost because Cole was so dominant.
Oh, he was a freak.
But, yeah, so I think it's interesting to me how it sets up, where I think you've got a lot of options if you're the Rays. And if they do play it like that, and again, I think I do want to make it clear, the announcers I'm criticizing are not the guys that were doing the radio feed, because they were really good. I don't even know who it was. But, somebody brought this up too. Saturday TV broadcast also said Will Smith was warming up in the
bullpen. I know, I heard that.
It did that more than once.
Getting jiggy
with
it.
It was more than once. So.
Well, that's like A-Rod the other day when A-Rod was doing the game, and he said it was the wild card game, and he said Sean Manaea, the rookie. I was like, dude, Sean Manaea has been in the league for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the only one of A-Rod. That's just the one that jumped out at me. I was like, what?
Yeah, I think A-Rod was just drunk.
Maybe so.
But I like getting insight from guys that aren't necessarily your local, because I know what the local guys are going to say at this stage. You've heard them all year. And you want a different perspective, and you want a good perspective. But stuff like that where they're just blatantly, like, man, talking about how great the Rays are when they're down 2-0 and couldn't touch Gerrit Cole with a paddle. And it's really, where does this come from? And, you know, it's just like Collinsworth. It's mute time. And apparently a lot of people agreed with me because I tweeted that out Saturday night and there was a huge response. All right, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Started a little early today since the game ended before 4 o'clock, so we'll still get right back here on the regular clock. Did you guys do anything interesting this weekend other than watch sport?
No, I went to a concert.
Yeah?
Which was really interesting. Have you ever been to a concert where the opening act was so bad that you almost left?
Yes. In fact, that Buckcherry concert I went to, that was making fun of the guy.
That was me this weekend. I went to the Rock on Tour show at Revention.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't leave because they're one of the rare bands that I'll say this about. They were much better live than they are on record. And I like their albums, but live, they put on a great show. That was a phenomenal show. If they ever come back to town, I highly recommend them.
Okay.
However, the band that opened up for them was so bad that my wife and I were looking at each other like, do you just want to get out of here? And it was made more difficult by the fact that it was one of those shows where you lock up your phone. So you don't have access to your phone. The show's horrible. Everything's piling up to me. And we started our diet, so I wasn't drinking.
Yeah, because at least you can drink your way through that ordinarily.
There was nothing for me. I was saying, this show is so horrible. Let's just get out of here. Let's get out of here and go watch, you know, late night Pac-12 football. And she's like, no, I want to hang through. Although there was a time where she was like, I might want to get out of here. And luckily we did. But that opening, I'll have to figure out the name of the band. It was a drunk guy basically playing the drums and singing.
Is it Help Us Stranger?
You know what? I don't know. I don't want to say that because I couldn't understand a word that the guy said. Because when he would talk, I mean, he was either wasted or he's just burnt out. I mean, he's an older dude. He's like probably in his 50s.
Sorry, that's the name of the album that they were touring.
But the drums and his vocals are turned up way louder than anything else. And there's two guitar players and a bass player just standing there, not moving. And before every song, he'd smoke a cigarette and tell you the name of the next song is. And I mean, it was a nightmare. And one of his songs was called It Ain't Easy Being Sleazy. And the entire song consisted of, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. It ain't easy.
Jeez.
Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. It ain't easy. I mean, this went on for like 2 minutes straight. Courtney was there. Courtney Bell, our promo director.
Hunt Sales?
I don't know. Let me text my wife.
Super old guy?
Yeah, a pretty older guy, yeah. Does the drummer, is he the vocalist?
Yeah, he was the drummer for Todd Rundgren. He's 65 years old.
That's him, yeah. Yeah, 65-year-old man. See if you can find It Ain't Easy Being Sleazy. I mean, I wanted to just put my head into a meat grinder. It was horrible. Sorry, and apparently they're from around here, so if you're listening, I mean, I'm sorry, but that was an awful performance. We can't pretend it wasn't.
Yeah, so he won't be getting part of the local music Tuesday, actually.
No, yeah. We're going to pass on that. We're going to pass.
But at least you
met Jack White in Austin, Texas, and then one of his songs was called Thank You, Jack, where he just kept singing, Thank You, Jack. Thank You, Jack. Thank You, Jack. Oh, brutal.
I hope I'm welcome.
Yeah. and then Sunday, your Houston Texans come out with, I mean, certainly their best offensive performance of the season. There's no question.
Yeah.
And not probably, the best performance of Deshaun Watson's life.
You can't ask for any more than that.
I mean, he was unbelievable.
Just as many incompletions as he had touchdowns.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah. No turnovers. Came close on the ball that he just dropped, basically, and then picked it up and ran.
I mean, everything went right for him. He ran the ball really well. He wasn't holding on to the ball too long. I mean, it was just – it was perfection from an offensive standpoint. And – listen, you know, the Falcons suck on defense. You knew that going in. You knew.
Yeah, but they're not that bad. Jeez.
Well, you knew their only hope was going to be trying to contain DeAndre Hopkins, which, I mean.
They did.
Relatively. I mean, 88 yards. You'll take that. 7 catches, 88 yards, no touchdowns. Unfortunately for them, there's other guys on the team that were able to catch the ball, and namely Will Fuller, who had probably his best day as a pro.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just a really dominant offensive performance. The defense, listen, the Texans will make an offense look good, and they made the Falcons look pretty good. And the Falcons, after the first couple series, the Texans figured out, okay, we got to change up what we're doing with Julio, because JJO one-on-one with Julio isn't going to work.
Which I think we could have told them that going into the game.
Yeah.
Maybe don't come out with that.
So then they put Tayshaun right on the line, Tayshaun Gibson right on the line, and then the entire game, JJO was just 10 yards off the ball.
Which is like, kind of what he does.
Kind of bracketing over the top of Julio. It was a really strange but effective
strategy. Julio only had, what, 3 catches?
Yeah. All early.
Yeah.
And then, but that said, just like with the Texans, the Falcons have other guys too, and Sanu and Ridley had big games. But either way, the Falcons defense, they will make an offense look right too. And the Texans were able to take advantage. And really, the game kind of played out exactly how I thought it would until about 2 minutes left. And if you had the Falcons in a teaser, or you had the Falcons to cover, you were probably in pretty good shape.
It's feeling pretty good when they cut it to 8.
Until the breakaway touchdown under 2 minutes, because that was third down. If they just run and they force them to punt, you got a shot there for the backdoor cover. But instead, they score, they get the pick 6, and it's a blowout game. But either way, the right team won that game.
And yeah. And I
the Falcons suck.
What I always ask is that I want to see you make a play to win the game. And so when the Falcons cut it to 8, thanks to DeAndre Carter's muffed punt.
That was brutal.
By the way, that's just the worst possible time for that, right? So they cut it to 8, and the Texans just go right down the field.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's it. Game over. And I know Quinn's getting a lot of criticism, probably rightfully so, for not challenging the Carter out of bounds on the kickoff thing, which I don't know. First off, I don't know how the ref screwed that up.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I mean, that's obvious. And then how you can't challenge that?
I don't know how you can't challenge
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean,
you can challenge anything out of bounds.
And granted, I mean, so it's another 20 yards to add to Watson's total, basically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they weren't going to stop the Texans, but... No, I thought offensively that it's one of those things. It's frustrating to see that offense when last week
they weren't there.
They were terrible. And, you know, that's the thing. It's a consistency that you want to see.
Now, to be fair, last week they didn't play the Falcons.
No, but
the Falcons, they're one of the teams with a secondary that's probably worse than the Texans, if that's possible.
No, but you still, some of those plays, they wouldn't have worked against the Panthers. I mean, you know, the quick slants, there was a lot of getting the ball out of his hand quickly, and it just seems like to me that some of those plays were there. Now, he didn't play well last week on top of that, but, you know, they just look like a totally different offense. And, yeah, a lot of it's the Falcons. They're pretty brutal on defense. And, yeah, I'm not even going to rip the Texans defense too much because, you know, even though they're down at the half, boy, they made some good adjustments in that third quarter.
They
came out and shut them down in the third quarter. Texans took control. And look, the Falcons can still put up yards. And actually, early on, the Falcons were doing something they really haven't done all year, which is finish in the red zone.
Yep.
That's why they were up by 1. But the Texans fixed all their things on the back end. And to me, almost everything was garbage after that once they took control. So
I think the only thing worth complaining about is kicking is still an issue. And...
Yeah, you missed 2 more extra points. You can't do
that. Can't happen, man.
No.
And it didn't matter today or yesterday, but it's going to matter eventually.
Yeah, and yeah, especially as many close games as they play. But, I have nothing negative to say about that game yesterday. They were on it. Will Fuller had a career game, which, you know, I let's be honest, he hasn't been that great this year.
He hasn't.
And he finally showed up, so that was a big effort. And then... Yeah, you know, they ran the ball well enough. Not great, but they ran it well enough.
Well, they ran it way better than the Falcons did.
Big difference. We knew that the Falcons were going to
Devontae Freeman is washed.
I just don't know. I don't know what is wrong with that team because they've got talent, especially on that side of the ball. And they've got good offensive linemen. They just can't run the ball. And then you wind up having to throw it every down, and Matt Ryan is, I think boy, you look at his career, other than the MVP season, he's just been sexy Kirk Cousins. And I kind of saw a lot of that yesterday. But, you know, I'm going to just say best performance that they've had in a while offensively, maybe the best they've ever had under O'Brien.
Yeah, I'm the only thing I disagree with you on is what Matt Ryan did, because I thought Matt Ryan was good yesterday. I just think
but they never it felt like they were chasing the game the whole way, especially after at halftime they came out and they basically made all the adjustments they needed to make to stop him. And then by the time the Falcons adjusted, the game was out of hand.
But was it Matt Ryan's fault they were chasing the game?
I didn't
feel like it to me.
I think he played okay, but I don't think he did anything to help them win. They weren't going to win anyway. They were going to score on 9 of 11 possessions.
Their defense wasn't going to allow them to win that game.
But it's, you know, that there's a Jonathan Joseph out there for you to pick on. They didn't do it enough.
Yeah.
So.
Jonathan Joseph basically played safety in that game after the first quarter.
Yeah.
He was a glorified safety.
But, you know, that's the thing. And I think he missed on a few passes that when the game was still winnable. But in general, you look at it, he's one of those guys, you look at his numbers, and you say, wow, pretty good game. You look at his results, not so much.
Yeah.
All right, guys, well, I'm going to tell you about results and numbers and winning. How about that? That's what you can do if you go see my man, Dr. Linville. And I've been talking about this now for a while, ever since I got it done. And I went and had the hair replacement. It's not really a replacement, it's a transplant. That's the cool thing about it. I was going bald. I was at the point where, okay, I need to either just shave this thing or go get something done. And I talked to a bunch of people about getting something done, and it was hair plugs, and it was all this other stuff. And I was like, man, this just doesn't feel right. And I spent 5 minutes with Dr. Linville, and he explained to me what the process is about. They take the hair off the back of your head, and they just do the NeoGraft procedure and put it in the front of your head or wherever you're balding. And guess what? It works. And it's been growing out nicely. It's almost to the point where it's going to look the way it's going to look. And I got to tell you, he's also a person who had it done. So he knows all about it. He's a good guy. His staff is fantastic. Go to 975hair.com. You'll get a free consultation just for the Blitzers. 975hair.com. If you're on the fence, go find out what he's about. I guarantee you will love the idea. Get your hair back. 975hair.com.
Just between you and me, okay?
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, well, I hear you, but if it's that intense, I'll need a solid buzz to think clear.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I would tell you,
maybe this is better live.
No, it's worse live. And it goes on.
Jeez.
What a songwriter.
I really hope he doesn't drop an F-bomb in there, because I couldn't find lyrics anywhere.
I don't think there's any other lyrics, so I think you're safe. Oh, man. So Saturday, we went over to our property to do some work, do some clearing and stuff. It was so bleeping hot. And like 5 minutes in, I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? Let's come back next week when it's going to be 70 degrees.
Yeah.
Because you're having to, because there's a lot of brush and stuff, I'm like, you're having to wear thick boots and thick jeans and a long sleeve shirt, and it's 98 degrees out there, and I'm like melting. So needless to say, there was quite the argument on the way home between me and the wife.
Well, don't you know the cold front was supposed to come in today?
Cool front?
How's that worked out?
I don't know.
You were just outside.
It's 85. It was 85 when I came inside. But it was still humid and still felt like 92. So 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Somebody says, pick on OB. One of the scoring plays, O'Brien took out the challenge flag. It was getting automatically reviewed. I'm not going to pick on O'Brien today.
I'm not even bothering. You know why? Because I think he's humbled a little bit. And Lamont brought it up. He said, O'Brien seemed upset after the win yesterday, and Jerome did question him about it. I saw Jerome ask him, like, hey, you don't seem that happy about this. I think O'Brien's figuring it out. I think that he knows. Well, I mean, figuring this out. Don't not everything. Not figuring the big.
I'm gonna
not capital IT. Just figuring this one thing out. He's figuring. I think he knows the Falcons aren't that good. First of all, I mean, they're 1-4, and I think he's just trying not to let himself get too high after a win, because after they beat the Jags and the Chargers, I mean, you could see his chest was all puffed out, and he was feeling like, you know, we were just a missed field goal away from, you know, beating the Saints and blah, blah. And then the Panthers came and humbled him. And
old school style.
Yeah, they gave old country way. And I think that he kind of learned the lesson that, you know, you're going to go through swings, and this is not the kind of team that you want to be pumping your chest after beating up a bad football team. And I think that's what the Falcons might be, is just a bad football team. I think when RJ said Dan Quinn was going to be the first coach fired, I said, well, I think Jay Gruden may have something to say about that.
Yeah.
And Jay Gruden beat him to the window.
It's early yet, though. I mean, it could still happen.
Oh, I still think Dan Quinn will get fired. I won't surprise me one single bit. But that they're not as good as I thought they were going to be. I don't think they're as good as really anybody thought they were going to be. I don't think anybody thought this team's going back to the Super Bowl. But I don't think people thought that they were going to be like a, you know, bottom feeder either.
Yeah, I thought they would probably be a 7-9 type team, but they're way worse.
They're worse, yeah, because they're horrible defense. I mean, honestly, they've got a lot of the problems, and really when you look at the two teams overall, they mirror the Texans in a lot of ways.
See, I said that at some point last year, and you laughed at me.
Well,
the Falcons are the Texans.
You're right.
Managed to get to the Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan one time. That's the only difference.
The Falcons have – both teams have horrible secondaries. Horrible. They have – abysmal offensive lines and basically no running game and good quarterbacks that can carry them, a great number one wide receiver, solid complementary wide receivers, and bonehead head coaches. And I mean, they're the same team. You were right.
Hey, can you save that? That's the first time I've heard that
you
in forever,
right,
that I was actually right about something.
Yeah.
I'm going to squeeze in a call. John wants to weigh in.
Hello, John.
Hello?
Sports.
Hello?
Hello, are you in your bathroom?
Yes, I am. I'm coming out.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Okay, let's go ahead.
Wash your hands.
I did.
Okay.
And everything else.
All right.
I want to say good afternoon to the both of you, and no conflict of interest. I just want to ask you a question. How old is Tom Brady?
I mean, how old is Tom Brady now?
41.
Is that it?
I think he's 41.
He's older than that.
Yeah,
he's in his early 40s.
Oh, okay then. I have another situation I would like to expand on. I'm going to name a player because I heard y'all talking about
he's 42
someone
now.
Someone talking about A.D. Peterson.
Okay.
And he have had some injuries. Last year he had over 1,000 yards. If the Texans would have brought him in, season running back, they would be – a lot better, take pressures off the quarterback. All quarterbacks are not perfect. All of them have a different game because of pressure.
All right, John, let me jump in here. First off, this after they just put up 52 points is the wrong time to call with the Adrian Peterson thing. Listen, he was good last year. He's one of the all-time greats.
He just ran for 18 yards against the Patriots this week.
Tom Brady is 42 years old as a quarterback, and there's a difference between
a 42-year-old quarterback and a seasoned running back.
Yeah. If you wanted to call after week two when they were averaging 2.2 yards a carry against the Chargers, I might have heard that. But we've also seen enough out of him. We've seen enough out of the Texans. They're better off with what they have. So
yeah, Adrian Peterson has 108 rushing yards so far this season.
And listen, I love Adrian Peterson, but at some point, guys are done.
He's washed,
and you know that's the thing. So that's a pretty rough phone call today to start off things.
Running backs typically, we talk about this all the time, running backs after 30, typically it's over. Adrian Peterson made us kind of eat our words because his 30-year-old season, he ran for 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns, and it was kind of, whoa, maybe we're wrong. And then since then, last year he had 1,000 rushing yards.
On a bad team.
On a bad team.
With a bad offensive line.
Yeah.
But this year.
Kudos.
Yeah. I love the guy, but, you know, hell. I love Peyton Manning, but I don't want him playing quarterback now for me.
And last year he was still a half a yard per carry under his career average.
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson's not—he's not going to improve this team. He's not improving any team. I mean, I'll be honest.
Take that call back to the bathroom.
27 yards per carry, yeah. Or 27 yards per game this season. 27 yards per game.
Mm.
Not enough. All right, got to tell you about Carbach. Listen. They just wrapped up Carboctoberfest. I hope you guys were able to get out there. I saw on their Instagram they were posting a bunch of videos. Looked like a good time out there. Guess what's coming up next? Foam Hinge. They've stepped up their game in this concert series thing, man. They tried it out a couple years ago. Foam Hinge was like really their first foray into it. And they've been going full blast. Like basically every season they have a big concert series come through. And Foam Hinge this year, the third annual event, Ace Frehley is going to be the headliner. Tickets are available now at carbachbrewing.com. They've got regular tickets and VIP. And trust me, you want the VIP. That's the way to roll to these Carbach events. And the restaurant, outstanding. The food is out of this world. And everything on the menu pairs perfectly with one of the several beers that they've got on the wall. Usually they've got, I don't know how many exactly, usually like 20. But they've always got something that you won't be able to get anywhere else. You got to check them out. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today. Stop by the restaurant today. Tell your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
You just got to be worthy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. Everybody doubted me.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Monday. It's not that happy because your Astros got pounded today, but don't worry. You get
Verlander, still 2-1.
Verlander tomorrow against a bullpen day, which... Bullpen day may be the best thing that the Rays have going for them besides Chuckles Morton. Field of Wings says, watching on Twitch, I am not typing this in my bathroom. Yeah, that was somebody's uncle or cousin or agent. But, yeah. Somebody said, I swear that AP caller must be related. He's called on Charlie's show as well as argued with the usual suspects. Shame Bell for that guy.
Yeah, we talked about it during the break. I said that guy must be like his uncle or something.
Yeah, I think we can go ahead and...
And you know me, I love Adrian Peterson.
So do I.
I mean,
so do I. But yeah, that... I don't know what your point was other than, well, Tom Brady's still playing. A little different animal. And Tom Brady, last time I looked, weren't the Patriots undefeated with him at quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, just checking. Oh, my goodness. That's the call we get on a Monday when the Astros are up 2-1 in a series. The Texans just had their best offensive performance in ever. Yeah. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. A lot of people have been asking me about the alleged poker cheater story.
I read that story.
I'd like to devote some time to it, but let's do it tomorrow because there's too much other stuff going on right now. Like Daryl Morey. What the hell?
Okay. I think there's multiple ways to come at this story, honestly. And there's... I understand why we're looking at Tillman Fertitta admonishing Daryl Morey because it's a business first thing.
Right.
I get that. But then when the whole NBA comes out and does it, it's almost... I know you said earlier, like on Sports Map, you're trying to make sure when the article gets written that there's not a side taken.
And I think I accomplished that.
Okay.
It's up, and I thought I explained it really well. But I also kind of admonished the NBA a little bit.
Think about that. An American citizen, which is what Daryl Morey, at the end of the day, is an American citizen... who tweeted a political stance, which, by the way, if you have Twitter, welcome to Twitter. All it is political stance. That's almost all it is. So he tweets a political stance. And apparently, tweeting in support of democracy and against communism in 2019 is not aligned with the NBA's values. That's where it's kind of weird for me. And by the way...
Well, because isn't the NBA supposed to be the most socially aware?
Woke?
Well, yeah.
We could just say woke. They're supposed to be the most woke league. Put this into perspective. You know how many people in China saw that tweet? None. Because China doesn't... They're not allowed to look at Twitter. Twitter's blocked in China. Yet somehow... China is directing what Daryl Morey should or shouldn't be allowed to say on Twitter. That is unbelievable to me that there's even a side to take on this.
Well, I think, well, two things. And yeah, the article, I kind of explained everything that happened. To me, the most amazing thing about this, Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke are on the same side. Did you see their tweets?
Dude, we're coming close to the apocalypse, because guess what else? I saw Pat Robertson say, like, and I agree with Pat Robertson on the Syria thing, which I never thought I'd say. I agree with Pat Robertson on anything. And he was, like, saying, Trump, he's in danger of losing, what did he say, the something of heaven, the mandate of heaven. And I was like, what? First of all, Trump never had the mandate of heaven. That's a crazy.
Does heaven have a mandate?
Because I don't think so.
I miss that. I miss the party meeting for that.
But Pat Robertson's like, it's like, no, cheating on your wife with porn stars, that's not going to cost you. But you withdraw from Syria, I'm telling you, that could cost you the mandate of heaven. Well, and I've been with this president for a long time.
In what sense?
I've tried to support him. Because I believe he's a good Christian man. But I can't stand by while he lets Kurds and Christians get slaughtered. By the way, every time I see Pat Robertson's face, I feel like he's from Planet of the Apes. Like, if you told me that he was... It's funny that essentially a Christian Zionist who is, I'm sure, completely against the idea of evolution... Looks like evolution paused halfway on him. Like, he does look like a chimpanzee. You can't tell me he doesn't when you see his face. And it may just be of old age. Like, maybe when you get old, you start to look a little bit like a monkey. But
don't look at me when you say that. That's not cool. That's not cool. I don't look like a monkey. Maybe an orangutan, but, you know.
I don't like, I just don't like the whole, and you're right, it is weird seeing those people agree on things. But I think that's something like all of America should agree on. We're talking about a freedom of speech thing. And I get freedom of speech doesn't affect, it doesn't give you the right to say whatever you want and not lose your job. But, I mean, I don't know since when in our history speaking out against communism has ever been frowned upon. And the NBA is like, oh,
not as simple as speaking out against communism. The whole protest thing, and believe me, I had to do a lot of research for the story, but there's a very different opinion. There's a history there with Hong Kong that was under British control until several years ago when they turned it over to the Chinese, and there's a lot of sides to it. The problem here is that, and that's what I always say about bumper sticker tweets, how they will get you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot more of an in-depth problem than you can just say, oh, you could just tweet out one sentence, and because people are going to react to it like idiots. And that's what happened. The Chinese government basically, and I do think that the tariffs have something to do with this. They're looking for anything they can to fight over. But the reality is, if you can get Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke to come down on the same side of something, then something's wrong here. Because usually if one of those guys says something, the other one's going to just take the opposite side because that's what they do. Say, like, oh, no, this guy's an idiot. But Cruz tweeted out, as a lifelong Houston Rockets fan, I was proud to see D. Morey call out the Chinese Communist Party's repressive treatment of protesters in Hong Kong. Now in pursuit of big money, the NBA is shamefully retreating. Fair. And then O'Rourke says, the only thing the NBA should be apologizing for is their blatant prioritization of profits over human rights. What an embarrassment. Those two guys have never agreed on anything.
No.
But where I think the mistake came is we can't assume that other cultures are, you know, have the same things that we do in terms of freedom. Yes, we can tweet out whatever we want, but if we're going to tweet out about another culture, then you have to understand that their government doesn't allow that there. And there's a reason for that. They're controlling the message, which is something we need to be very concerned about over here, as I've been alarmist about for a long time, and I feel like I'm tilting at windmills. But when that happens, the government can basically say, you know what? Don't do business with them. And that's why I think maybe if Maury did anything wrong, it's realizing, okay, you don't just represent yourself on your personal Twitter. You do represent the Rockets. You do represent the NBA, whether you want to or not. And that worked fine for you when you were making all these cases for James Harden to be MVP. Nobody was complaining about it then. Well, I mean, they were, but, you know, so when you do this, yeah, you are responsible. And Tillman's in a tough spot because, you know, Tillman is thinking about the business end of things. But he's also in a position now where if you fire Maury,
now you're basically kowtowing to China.
He can't do it because then you're going to lose all your Houston people, and you're going to lose folks over that because people love.
So what's more important, your American fans or your Chinese fans at the end of the day?
Well, that's why nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's going to happen.
So, and
but it still is, to me, it's a bad look on Tillman. And Lamont mentions this, that hand slap on Daryl Morey, that shouldn't have happened on Twitter. That should have happened in an office. That made it worse for me.
I'm sure his immediate panic was suddenly he's seeing billions of dollars walk out the door.
No, I get it.
And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't what we're about. Too late. So, yeah, I don't envy the position that Tillman's in. But, yeah, I kind of agree with you. That wasn't the way to do it. And the fact that James Harden and the NBA and all these guys are coming out saying, oh, wait a minute, China's great. That's not good.
Very odd.
Yeah, so, I mean, what do you do? It's a very strange story, but it's also one of those, and we see this all the time. Like, and we talked about this morning. How many sports fans in Houston actually care about this? You got the Astros up 2-1. You got the Texans coming off their an amazing performance. You're about to start a season with Russell Westbrook, and you've got some promise there. And so I don't think locally they care if Tillman Fertitta were to get fired.
No, but, if Daryl Morey were to get fired.
I mean, Daryl Morey, excuse me, yeah. They would be pissed off at Fertitta, and that would be a problem. But I don't think that's happening.
But again.
But it's gotten outside of that. It's on CNN now.
It's everywhere.
It's transcended it. It's become a political hot-button topic.
And a story that had it stayed in the office, had Tillman said, hey, you need to fire over an apology email. You need to, you know, redact what you said, but not blasted him on Twitter. I think it's not a topic really today. Maybe a slight topic, but not nearly to the level that it is.
I think the reason he did it is because the reaction they got from China. That was going to happen anyway, and then everybody had to react. So I wouldn't have handled it that way, but I get it because Dustin brings up a really good point with this, is that Chinese money is what made the Rockets so valuable in the sale.
I get it. I get it. And I saw, I saw the Nets owner like making it look out to be like the country of China is like some sort of victim. Read a history book. Read about Mao.
I used all his quotes in my story, so it's worth checking out. But the reality is they're overly sensitive is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. And that's what he says, basically, without, you know, he's saying nice things about China. You have to understand that, you know, the territorial integrity of China and the country's sovereignty. Stop.
Yeah.
Don't be babies about it. But that's what happens when you keep in mind they're only getting part of the story there.
But look up like the proletarian cultural revolution in China in the 60s and 70s and tell me that, oh, they're just, you know, they're just good people trying to make it. Like the Communist Party in China has a long history of bad stuff. And to act like we should feel sorry for them because they're sensitive about something, like, no, I refuse to do that.
Well, and again,
because in America we've never felt sorry for anyone for running a communist government. In fact, We've literally fought wars with countries for that very thing.
We fought cold wars.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was one thing. I don't think we actually ever fought.
What, we fought Vietnam?
Yeah. Okay. Vietnam. I guess Korea.
Yeah.
But
Korea to this day.
But we didn't fight any of the big ones. We didn't fight Russia. We didn't fight China. We never fought Cuba.
But we've always had missile crises and cold wars.
Yeah, but nothing ever really happened.
Yeah, but still, man.
Actually, I wish we could go back to those days because there wasn't any real war.
Also, acting like Vietnam and Korea aren't like major wars in our country's history, those are still pretty big deals. Like, we have fought wars over communism.
Yeah.
So, suddenly everybody's protective of it? I don't understand that. It just doesn't work in my brain.
Well, I don't think they're... Well, two thoughts on this. Number one, I don't think Maury really understood the gravity of what he was doing in that tweet. If he did, he never would have done it. And number two, I don't think it's as simple as, oh, they're backing communism. They don't see it as that. They see it as backing business partners. And, you know, it's easy to say... It's easy to kind of simplify it like that. That's not really the case. There's a lot of business being done with China. A lot of it's very dicey right now because of what the president's done, which I've noticed a lot of people actually agree with. So it's more than just, oh, we're backing communism over this guy. It really is.
Well, to me, it's funny that Well, I got to hit a break. One more thing to add on, or a couple more things to add on. All right, did you know that overall job satisfaction in this country is the highest it's been in 15 years? It's all the way up to 51%. Yay. That means 49% of you are drudging off to work to a job that you hate, not making enough money, working for your stupid idiot boss. You don't have to. You've got options. Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take their free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. And you don't need computer experience or training. They don't care about that. Helping people start an IT career from scratch is what they do. Because it's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You're going to get everything you need. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire our students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's MyComputerCareer.edu.
Is the Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN. 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Yeah, we apologize. You know, we love China. We love, you know, playing there. I know for both of us individually, we go there, you know, once or twice a year. They show us the most important love. So, you know, we appreciate them as a fan base, and we love everything, you know, they're about, and you know, we appreciate the support that they give us individually and as an organization. So, you know, we love you.
Miss James Harden wasn't really critical of Maury or anything. Just, hey, we love you, China. But I think it gets to a different issue and something you were hitting on off air. So I'll let you run with it, and then I have a couple thoughts about it, too.
Well, I was just pointing out that it seems like in America, it used to be strong and firm on which side of the fence America stood on issues like this. And it's funny how it depends on where our wallets are aligned. And I think you can make an argument that the Israel-Palestine, it's not much different. And, you know, you mentioned Saudi Arabia off the air. It's not much different. And this is a situation where, if money weren't involved, if we didn't have these dealings with China as a business partner, everyone would be saying exactly what Daryl Morey said. You know?
Yeah, but it
changes everything because of money. It's very odd.
It also just goes to show you how hypocritical some of these social justice warriors are. Like, oh, wait a minute. These affecting my Nikes? I'm not saying anything about this.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, but that's been this way for a long time. If you know, if someone is, if we're making a lot of money off a specific country, we'll overlook everything they do. And I think Saudi Arabia is a perfect example of that. And it's frustrating because, you know, people would talk about when the U.S. started traveling to Cuba again, it's like, oh, but look at all of what they did. Yeah, well, look at all of what Saudi Arabia does, and they're our buddies.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same
because
thing.
Because of money.
Yeah, and that's what it is, and that's okay. If that's what you're going to be about, say it. But don't do that on one hand and then
don't
come
pretend back. To be, yeah, and then pretend to be the world police on the other.
Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, that's I just feel like this is one of those things that's going to get out of control. Because it's CNN and now it's all these talking heads on it, and the reality is it's just something the guy should have done. It shouldn't have, probably shouldn't have done. So 713-780-ESPN 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And yeah, that to the guy trying to explain communism to me, and it has nothing to do with the oppression of civil liberties. Let's yeah, I know that. I studied communism quite a bit in college because that's what you do in college. Read all of Karl Marx. None of it was intended.
That's not how it's written down.
No, but that's,
but
what,
that's
it
what it becomes.
Yeah, that's what it's become. And so yeah, you can. And I know a lot of people want to look at that and say, well, wait a minute, that's not what communism was meant to be. Well, I don't think capitalism was what this is meant to be either. At times, so yeah, it's just things take on a meaning and a connotation of their own, and you know, communist countries became the. I actually miss when we knew who the enemy was. It was the Soviet Union. It was China. It was the communists.
Yeah,
that's what I grew up with. I loved that. We knew who to hate. We knew who to worry about. We didn't have to worry about terrorists or any of that other stuff. It's just those were the enemies. I miss those days.
Like I said, you want, go read a book about Mao. And read a book about what China was like from, you know, 1950 to the mid 70s, and tell me that that's not oppressing a people and that's not a dictatorship.
And that's a
you can call it whatever you want. You can call it the People's Republic. That doesn't make it not a dictatorship. Nobody calls themselves the dictatorship of China. They don't. Only the guy in North Korea, Kim Jong Un. Yeah. He's the only one who's blazing enough to be like, you know what. I'm the supreme leader. I run this bitch.
See,
everybody else tries to cover it up and pretend like it's even what Vladimir Putin's the president, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's a super democratic thing they've got going on over there. That's totally above board.
For the record, if I were in charge, I would just say, look, this is a dictatorship. This is Falcon Land. You bitches do what I say. And that's that. Before you get to this, Space Ghost is back on. The Twitch line, he says he wants to give out a shout out to Chris Campisi for his post game coverage of the Astros. I love this quick score record, winning, losing picture. Yeah, that guy does such a good job. And we're going to have similar coverage of the Rockets this year. Lock that up for you. So, but go check out sportsmap.com. There's all that great stuff there.
All right, guys, before fall gets here, you need to check and make sure your windows are energy efficient. Invest in beautiful quality windows with Allstate siding and windows. They now have StormForce windows designed for impact for all weather. And as we've seen in recent months, all weather will hit Houston. You can save up to 40% on your energy bills with your vinyl windows. Think about what you could do with that money. Those windows are eventually going to pay for themselves. Senior discounts, military discounts, first responder discounts, AJ Hoffman discount. What's that, you ask? Oh, the AJ Hoffman discount, 25% off all window packages, no payments for 2 years. All you got to do is tell them that I sent you. Guys, when you want to invest, choose the best Allstate siding and windows. And make no mistake, that's what you're doing when you get new windows on your home. You're investing in your home. You're investing in your energy savings. You're investing with these windows. 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com. 832-204-1936, Allstate Siding and Windows. Six, four, jump like a trampoline. Six, take a brick out, put it on the triple beam. I'm not from Canada, but I see a lot of teams. Dismantle up, I know how to handle up. Light the candle up, make you put a banner up.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special message.
Yeah? What's up?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with Sea Force Water.
I'll drink to that.